Totally Hockey at the IIHF 2019 Ice Hockey World Championship. It's day 11. It's the final countdown. Thomas. Exactly. Thomas Ross is joining us from Aftonbladet.
It's very nice to be here, James.
We're so delighted you could join us because there's a lot to talk about, what with Sweden, with their game against Latvia, but also I say the final countdown because it's a day of decisions, a day when verdicts have been reached and some extraordinary games of ice hockey.
I know, and I don't know if many people know that if Sweden have lost this game against Latvia tonight and the game tomorrow against Russia, they will probably be out from the playoffs, and that had never happened in Swedish ice hockey history.
Yeah, well, there were some tense moments because Latvia took the lead 3-2 in this afternoon's game in Bratislava. We'll talk about all of that. We've got Julie Robbenheimer joining us on the line from Košice, also Seth Bennett to talk about what went on there this afternoon with Great Britain and France. But let's begin with the scores from day 11. In Košice, Ben O'Connor, Ben Davies and Ben Bounds-Savies and Great Britain pull off the unthinkable, coming back from 3 goals down to 4-3 in overtime to say goodbye to France.
Jonathan Phillips, the captain, stops, checks, turns, he's got a man down the middle. Davies, can he score? Ben Davies wins it for Great Britain and GB have done the impossible.
Hold my beer, say tournament whipping boys Italy, who after 1 goal in 6 matches somehow find 3, force a shootout with Austria and send them down 4-3. Also today, Canada warmed up for Tuesday's USA clash by beating the state of Denmark, something rotten, 5-0. And Sweden got a major scare from Latvia, but came back for a 5-4 win, setting up their own huge Tuesday game with Russia. Remember, you can check out highlights of all the day's action and more on the fabulous IIHF app. There's goals as they go in on our social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. While you're on there, by the way, do look out for the IIHF's ref cam, which is always a very, very entertaining segment, not just for the hits.
Hey, we are done! We are done now!
Although I imagine the GBR France one will contain some very interesting footage. But also, some of the replays of goals in there are absolutely magnificent. When you catch a player on the break, but film from the referee's forehead, it's magnificent, Thomas.
Yes, and the communication between players and referees, you don't hear that type of communication anywhere in the ice hockey world.
Don't do anything stupid now, hey! No way! Good hit! Nice one.
Indeed not. All right, well, story one for us today is France, Great Britain.
Great Britain beat France and they're going to be elite again. They've pulled it out. From 3-0 down, they win this game in overtime by 4-3. It is absolutely incredible.
Seth Bennett there for the BBC, and Seth joins us now on the line from Košice. Seth, it's le miracle sur glace.
Yes, it's the crazy cats on ice. It's the ridiculous, great British team. You know, I had France pegged as hockey's Houdini going into this game, having escaped the drop on so many occasions and found ways to stay up every single year. But Great Britain, I mean, their script writers are just unreal. When you think about it, you know, you lose 6 games in a row and you're 3-0 down halfway through the game and it looks like you're done. You look like you've got nothing left to give. And these guys have played, some of them are at mid-90s games this season. So they've got nothing left in their legs. And then all of a sudden, you look at them and you think, you little so-and-sos, you're going to do this to me again, aren't you? You're going to put me through like you did 12 months ago in Budapest, where they were 2-0 down with 6-7 minutes to go in the game. And guess who scored? Robert Dowd scores the first one. Then the second goal goes in. Who is it? It's Robert Farmer that ties the game with seconds to go. Well, who was there on the score sheet again today? It was Robert Dowd first. Robert Farmer got the game-tying goal to send it to overtime. And you know, Great Britain, they've just got this will to win. They're stubborn, I think. They're just a bunch of stubborn so-and-sos. And for the fans, if it doesn't lose your hair or give you grey hair, it certainly gives you a great deal of entertainment, because that was absolutely unreal.
It's also a team that had lost, you mentioned, last year in Hungary when they were, if anything, more likely, I think, in many people's minds to go down at the start of that tournament than get promoted. They did get promoted for the second year in a row, and they arrived here. And what happened? There were massive losses all the way through the tournament until this game. And midway through, Seth, when France scored the second goal and then immediately afterwards, straight from the face-off, it's 3-0, you thought, well, this is gone.
Yeah, I at that point, I hadn't completely given up all hope, but the commentary certainly was more frustrated, because that second goal they gave away was just, it was frustrating because it was so rank amateur. I mean, it was a set play off a face-off that they'd been done with three or four times in this tournament, and they just weren't switched on to what was going to happen. So two goals in 6 seconds, and you're just going, this game's disappeared. Three goals in 4 minutes. You've lost your chance to play in the World Championship top flight by not switching on for 4 minutes of the game, having been the better team by a considerable distance early on. You felt if GB were just going to hang around a little bit longer, they would have scored more goals. I mean, James, I think his first shift of the game, the guy who scored the game-winning goal, Ben Davies, he has a breakaway. It's him and the goalie. There's nobody within 6 feet of him. And he dropped past it to the French player behind him because he thought GB were wearing blue and it was a teammate. I mean, it's beggar's blooming belief. I mean, I'm commentating on this, and I'm thinking, if I missed a whistle somewhere in this game? Because he doesn't even tell, he just drops the puck back to the guy behind him, who was a French player. I mean, it was unreal. And then the comeback in overtime, France had two brilliant chances. Ben Bounds is swimming around on the ice and somehow holds on to one at his near post. And before that final face-off in the game, there's a little conversation on the ice. And the conversation is between the captain, Jonathan Phillips, and Ben Davies. And all he says to him is, Ben, push forward on the face-off because I'm going to beat this defenseman in a race. And that's what he did. Ben pushed forward on the face-off and he chipped it down the ice. And Jonathan Phillips goes back. The defense, he beats the defenseman to the puck, who then catches him. But he's so strong, Phillips, to turn back and throw the pass to the middle. And this time, Davies wasn't throwing the puck back to anybody, blue shirt or otherwise. And he finished off and the team went wild and the celebrations went. And the other...
Seth, let me just leap in. I just wanted to get a quick word with you, Thomas. This is, I mean, it's an emotional day for British hockey fans.
I hear that. I'm getting goosebumps when I hear the commentator here.
Is it fair to say that for the broader world of hockey, France accepted, this is a terrific result?
Yeah, it is, because we need the Great Britain not as a hockey powerhouse, maybe a future hockey powerhouse, I don't know, but it's a very huge country. You have a lot of TV in the country also, and maybe we can build something in Great Britain to start a new hockey revolution there. And maybe in a couple of years, if Great Britain are lucky with a program or so on, maybe it can be in the hunt for the playoff spots.
In much the same way that your neighbours Denmark have kind of built up over the years.
Or the Swiss.
Yeah, or the Swiss. Fair point. Seth, for a team that had problems finishing, it was remarkable to see how coolly Ben Davies handled that decisive moment.
And a player who traditionally hasn't been a great goal scorer. You know, he's a player that's got jobs on his work rate, his energy, his efforts. He's added a little bit more quality to his game in the last 2 years. But two wonderful finishes. You know, the first one against the USA where he goes top shelf with a really nice snapshot. This, he was in tight, pressure moment, 3-on-3 overtime. And he knows that if he doesn't take that chance, maybe it goes to penalty shots. I think the big bonus is he probably doesn't think a great deal. And he is somebody who is very reactionary on the ice and he deals with what's in front of him. And I'm 99% sure he had no idea of the implications. And there was no thought of, if I miss this, then maybe we don't stay up. I think all he thought was shoot the puck, score the goal, and then scream lots and lots and lots and lots.
A lot of screaming, a lot of singing. A lot of swearing as well. Let's just get a quick post-game word now from the players amid the euphoria of this extraordinary and unlikely triumph. Ben Bounds, Colin Shields, who played his last game for GB, Paul Swindlehurst, and the decisive goal scorer, Ben Davies.
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable experience, like to score the goal firstly, but The boys, like, we have a penalty kill with 4 minutes to go. The boys are putting everything on the line. Bouncy's standing on his head left, right and centre. So It was just unbelievable performance. Just like you see, it's a massive team performance. It means the world to everyone, and yeah, it's unbelievable.
I think we're just a character.
We got tons of belief in this dressing room, and we did it last year in Hungary. We were two goals down and pulled it back, and as soon as we got that first goal, you knew it was coming. There was an energy about us, an energy about the fans, the whole arena, and you could sense it. It's history. We've made British history, so it's an unbelievable feeling, and you can't really describe how that is right now.
It's not been an easy trip. Let's not beat around the bush. I mean, we got spanked by some pretty good teams. As fun as it was to play against those top players, it's not easy to lose 7-0, 8-0, whatever the scores were. It was tough on the boys, but they stuck together. It was a long time away from family and friends, and they really stuck with it. And tonight, I think, was a culmination of that. And to come back from that 3-0 deficit was fantastic. And just really excited to watch the boys next year and enjoy the games from a less stressful point of view.
I just think it's a miracle. GB, a team that's got no funding, nothing like that. We earn tiny pittance amount of money compared to other guys in this tournament. We come in, we go 1B, 1A, then we stay up. It's you couldn't write this. If you said this 5 years ago, people would laugh at you. And then the guys of today have gone out and proved that GB is a nation of hockey players. It is something that's never been done before for Great Britain. It's something that might never be done again, to come down from 3 goals back to win 4-3 in overtime as a must-win game. Those guys played the hearts out, and all respect to them. Absolutely unbelievable.
Next year, ideally, won't be another 6 games of spanking followed by surviving in the dying minutes. How did GB try and make sure? What realistically can they do to arrive better prepared next time?
I think they'll have 3 games where they don't have to learn the ropes, and they're not going to be shocked by the level and the standard of playing with the best players around. I think they were... On this occasion, I think behind the scenes, they're going to be slightly better structured. They're going to know exactly the things they missed out on, not having a video coach or a goaltending coach, for example, at this tournament. And I think the other thing is the players go away now. And guys like Robert Dowd, who's a professional, who's a superstar in his league, Ben O'Connor, who's a superstar in the British League, they go away and they work out how to be faster skaters. They maybe spend time doing their power skating, because that's something they don't do. And they know now what they need to do to be able to skate with the very best.
Brilliant. Seth, look forward to seeing you in Switzerland next year.
You're listening to The Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
If you want to sum up the Great Britain game, it's a really classic hockey quote in Swedish hockey. I think it saw the daylight in the 80s. It was a famous coach saying, "The hardest thing in hockey is to be up 3-0.
And why is that, Thomas?
Because you relax and kind of think that the game is over, and you think about getting your golf clubs ready for the golf season and what you want to have for dinner afterwards and so on. I mean, the game is done if you're up 3-0.
All right, well, 2-1 proved a dangerous scoreline for the Austrians.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because Great Britain weren't the only promoted side to stay up in the top division. The Italians, and this is pretty extraordinary as well, also managed it on Monday evening against Austria. They took the lead against Austria. Austrians then came back, made it 2-1. And Italy, a team that had been outscored 45-1 coming into this fixture, they'd lost all 6 games so far, somehow dug deep and managed to take it to a 3-3 final score and then a shootout, which was won by Sean McMonagall's shot and also by, once again, the saves of the Italy keeper, Andreas Bernard, who spoke to us after the jubilant Italy team, having conquered their place in next year's World Championship, exited the ice.
It was tough. Like, we got the first goal and then they came back strong with 2 goals, and it was unbelievable how we fought today, and big heart from the team and team effort, and like, that's all what we came for, like, here, get that last win. I think the last 10 days have been so rough, like 10-0, 9-0, 8-0, like, and that's a team spirit what we have that can come back and win that game today, like, unbelievable, like, good team effort.
So much pressure on you through the overtime. I think there were 4 Austrian shots you managed to save, and then through that penalty shootout. What was going through your mind?
I mean, it was the whole game was a mental game for me. Like, it were up and downs, and I was fighting to myself, like, that little guy was standing there, like, you're gonna fail, and I just keep on telling him, like, no, we're gonna win this today. And I just during the overtime in last period, I just kept on telling to myself, like, get that next save, get that next save, like, whatever it takes, like, jump around, whatever. And lucky today that we got it.
Okay, that little guy stands on shoulders a lot, but in these days of 9-0s and 10-0s, have you dared to dream about Italy staying up?
Of course, like, we knew from the start that it comes up to the maybe last two games, maybe the last game, and we knew about that, like, but still, it's tough to get through the week till, like, 10 days you have to wait to get to that game, and but lucky we got that behind us and got a great win today. There's a lot that we have still to learn, and we have to get stronger for next year, and I think we're going to watch some videos maybe next spring and what we can do better, and I mean, it's a wake-up call to our federation too that we have still to work even better and harder, and I hope that we're going to get a win or two next year too.
Extraordinary scenes here in Bratislava. Tomas, you wouldn't know off the top of your head the last time two promoted teams stayed up.
No, I don't. You know, we changed the format and so on, but I'm very happy for Team Italy that they kind of survived. And I also loved the thing that we did in the sudden death when they have a tactic that, okay, just try to survive those 5 minutes and get to penalty shots. And then we have more chance when we have in the sudden death and turned out to be perfect.
Just an incredibly emotional end to that game. And that was a huge surprise in terms of the predictions for this.
Yes, Austria, for me, it's a bigger and better hockey country than Italy's. And I saw the Sweden-Italy game and I kind of shook my head and what's Italy doing? I mean, we didn't have anything to do out there against the powerhouses. But now we survived, we can breathe some good air and come back next year, maybe better prepared.
Another country that has to maybe make some better preparations for the 2020 World Championship. Now, returning to this year's tournament, another big game that took place in Bratislava today was Sweden-Latvia, and actually quite a lot riding on this one as well. We'll touch on that after this. So this was some game as well, Tomas. As you mentioned earlier, there was a danger that if Sweden lost it, that might be you done for the tournament.
I know. Book airplane tickets to go home on Wednesday. That's, I don't know, the headlines tomorrow in tomorrow's newspaper, if they have lost. I mean, that could be a tragedy for the Swedish team.
Well, you started confidently. You took the lead. Elias Pettersson with a fine goal, fed by Landeskog, no?
Landeskog, yes, correct.
And then he gives the Latvian bench that death stare.
Yes,
I know. Is there a particular reason for that? I know they were giving him close attention throughout the game.
I heard that they kind of yelled at him during the 10 seconds when they have a power play. So I understand that he kind of listened to it and then he wanted to give back. He plays for Vancouver Canucks in the NHL, and he has his kind of special deaths there, but he have done that against journalists and opponents and so on, and now today's victim was the Latvian bench.
Have you ever had?
No, I don't.
All right. No reason for him to do that whatsoever. Speaking of power plays, though, Sweden had a perfect record in PKs throughout this tournament until you met Latvia today.
Yeah, I know. I did a large article about it yesterday, and we kind of did like the super PK and so on. And wow, it kind of just went all the down the drain and disappeared. And Sweden didn't do any good game today. I mean, it doesn't look that they're going to have try to get a new goal, the third in a row. So it doesn't look too good, if I have to be honest.
You don't think it's too good for getting another world title?
No, it's not enough anyway, right now.
Certainly, they don't seem to have the same form about them that maybe the Canadians, the Russians, or the United States have. We'll talk about those nations in a bit. But just going back to this game, so the Latvians have equalised. Robert Bukart.
The three goals he had. Yeah. I mean, he had a terrific game.
Sweden then pull ahead again through Adrian Kempe. Then there's an own goal, which levels it. And oh my word, then 2 minutes 30 later, Latvia have the lead. What are you thinking at this point, Tomas?
You know, before that, Team Sweden had a coach's challenge and lost it. So Latvia had the power play and everyone in Sweden were kind of, what's the coach doing? What's he doing? Why is he taking a coach challenge? I mean, a 1 point was enough for Team Sweden to survive and go to the playoffs. So it was some kind of scary minutes there for Swedish hockey. But I think it turned around when Latvia, they were going for 3 points. We had the win. I mean, that's all we were talking about. We want to have 3 points. So we took out the goaltender. And then Sweden had a goal in the empty net by Rasmussen, I believe it was.
All right, well, let's get a little bit of post-game reaction from the Swedish team, the goal scorer and Sweden captain, Oliver Ekman Larsson.
Incredible finish to that game. How worried were you?
When they scored a goal there and we had to play PK, we knew it was a big couple minutes for us, so we did it pretty good in the end, I think.
Defeat in this game would probably have left you needing a result against Russia to stay in the tournament, so this must have been really tense for you.
Yeah, of course, but as I said before, like, we try to win every game. Doesn't really matter what's going to happen. We always try to go to win all games, and luckily we did it today.
You got Russia again then coming up. You beat them last year at the Worlds. This is a much tougher Russia team. How confident are you feeling about your chances?
I think we have a really good team, and so do Russia. So I think it's going to be an even, tight game. We have to play our best to win the game.
We obviously want to win every game, and that's what we play for. So we got some help. They pulled the goalie, and we were able to score a goal in the empty net there. But yeah, we got the win, but we gotta have to do a better job all over the ice. I feel like we gotta clean some D-zone coverage up, and we gotta defend better than what we did tonight. We let in two on the PK tonight, but other than that, we have been really good and strong PK the whole tournament. But we gotta work on some stuff and get better for tomorrow's game.
Well, pretty tired, Oliver Ekman Larsson, after that match. I think it was quite draining.
I think he had the most minutes on ice in the game. So, and he's the captain. He's doing a terrific job. He's the best defenseman on the team right now.
What are you expecting to see when Sweden take on Russia? It's no longer about booking your place in the quarterfinals. That's now secured. You can still make second place, so you won't have to uproot and head down to Košice.
That's true. If Sweden beats Russia with 4-0, Team Sweden's going to win the group and probably have an easier way in the quarterfinal. But it's, for me, Team Russia is the best team so far in the World Championship. So the odds, it's not with Team Sweden so far.
Is there anything about previous tournaments that suggests last year, I know that Sweden beat Russia 3-1, but I don't think there's much comparison between that Russia team and the one that we're seeing this time around?
This is a close to Olympic Team Russia can come. I mean, you have three super lines and you have two goaltenders that are really good, and you have a defense that for first time in many years works for Team Russia. So it's a complete team.
When you look at Sweden's roster, that's really impressive as well, with the additions that have come in the course of this tournament. Player for player, you don't look weaker. So what do you think the difference is?
I think we maybe need a number one centerman. We don't have really that good centerman as we have previous year. We're missing Ovechkin's partner from Washington Capital, Niklas Bäckström, for example. If he had said yes to a world championship, then this Swedish team would have excelled and have been really good. But we are not as good as 2 years ago in Cologne, and maybe we have the same team as in Denmark last year. But I believe that maybe Canada or Russia has a better team than 12 months ago.
And possibly the United States as well.
Yes.
Who knows, Thomas? Maybe you'll be surprised in Tuesday night's clash. Quick word, though, on Latvia, who can't now make the quarterfinals, but for a nation of their size, continue to punch way beyond their weight.
I know. They also got the whole national team almost play together in Dynamo Riga. So that, I mean, they have a good program. They have an NHL coach now, and I feel sorry for them. You know, they made to the quarterfinals last year and gave Sweden, the world champions, a really tough game. This year they lost against the Swiss, and that's kind of their default and their thing. They did a really good, three good games: Sweden, and the Czechs, and the Russia. We were up winning against both the Czechs and Russia. But now we are finishing outside the playoffs. That's too bad for them. But I think they will go home to Riga and be a little bit proud anyway.
Okay, very good. Well, that wraps things up for Monday, with the exception of Canada's clash with Denmark. But you know what? We'll talk about that a little bit later on when we'll be joined by Julie Robbenheimer in Košice. Let's just get a quick check on the standings, which see in Group A, Finland, Canada, the USA and Germany going through to the quarterfinals, Great Britain staying in the top division, and France going down in Group B. Meanwhile, it's Russia, the Czech Republic, Sweden and Switzerland who will contest the playoffs, Italy staying up, and Austria returning to Division 1. So, what awaits then on Tuesday? Well, the conclusion of the group stage. Six games await us in Group B here in Bratislava. The Czech Republic take on Switzerland. You've got Norway against Latvia and that Sweden-Russia game that Thomas is so excited about.
Yes, super game.
Meanwhile, down in Košice, Finland take on Germany. Slovakia finish off their tournament against Denmark and Canada play the USA. Well, to get us up to speed on that game, we're joined now from Košice by Julie Robbenheimer of Elite Prospects. Julie, how is everything there after an extraordinary day?
Everything here is exciting. You're right, it has been a fun day, but excited to look forward to the game tomorrow. Still trying to figure out who's playing who and going where for the quarterfinals. So the Canada-US game is going to weigh heavily into what happens and what these matchups look like. But then also there's just a lot of national pride. It's a big game for these two in general to go up against each other. They know each other very well in terms of the players and what they're capable of doing. But of course, this is the first time that these two teams, as they are built, are going to face off. So it's going to be what I think is going to be a really physical battle that I think will be won by pouncing on opportunities. You know, having the physical nature really show in this game is going to make those offensive opportunities that the big ice allows going to be that much bigger and potentially that much more prominent in the game.
Currently, Canada lead the USA by 1 point in the standings. Canada in second place behind Finland. The team that finishes second doesn't have to move to Bratislava. So that's the prize, an extra day's rest without any travelling. You mentioned the relishing the extra ice. Is there one team that you think that's adapted quicker to that? And would it possibly be Canada?
I think I've mentioned it before, but just like Team USA and Team Canada, they have a very short training camp ahead of this tournament. So they take a couple games to kind of really get into their rhythm and find, I don't even want to say their identity, but just get comfortable on the larger ice. You know, it's hard for me. I think Team USA is more skilled in that sense, and just the sheer aspect of speed and creativity and the ability to make plays and finish them, I think that favors Team USA. But like I said, I just feel like this is going to be an incredibly physical battle. And, you know, that could give opportunities to Canada because they are a little bit more of a crash and bang, muck and grind kind of team. So we'll see.
We will indeed. Canada warming up on this Monday evening with a 5-0 victory over Denmark. The plan there, I think we were saying yesterday, was to score early and often, which is pretty much what happened. USA on Sunday with a 3-1 win, and it was a much tighter affair with Germany, but a couple of standout performances in that match, and in particular, James van Riemsdyk.
Well, I think people have been waiting for him to kind of explode onto the scene just because of the way that he's playing and how he's playing. A lot of people, because he is a bigger body, want to see him kind of impose his will in front of the net. But he has so much skill in him. And that is what we saw on display in the game against Germany. And, you know, we've seen a lot of really great passes out of him and then a lot of really great work in front of the crease, on the doorstep, in and around the low slot. So there's lots to be excited about his game, and I know that the fans in Philadelphia are excited to see what he was able to do this past season for them, and then this tournament is just an extension of that.
Who will be the key players, and what are you most looking forward to seeing in this clash?
That is a really good question, James. You've got all the hard questions tonight. You know, I think Anthony Mantha is going to have to continue to come up big. He's another kind of big body, but he also has a lot of skills. So, you know, he's been carrying the load for them. So I would have to say that he needs to step up. I'd also be looking at Mark Stone on Team Canada. On Team USA, I'd be looking at Patrick Kane and Dylan Larkin for Team USA. Just, you know, guys that need to step up and continue what they've been doing, because in these big games, you need your big horses to keep on running for you. So I'd be looking, you know, for those two teams, I'd be looking at those four players.
Julie, you have all the best answers. Thank you so much. I hope the game lives up to your expectations.
Me too. I'm sure it will. Okay. And it usually does.
Julie Robbenheimer. Tomas, then, before you leave us, you're not up on Sweden's hopes. You're very impressed with Russia. What do you think of Canada and USA?
That's a great matchup, and it's perfect to have the last day in the round robin here to see who's the best from North America. And I hope both teams really goes for a win. They don't check the scoreboards on what's happening in Bratislava and so on. So that we both teams just want to have a win and also have a before the playoffs. Hey, look who's the big brother. I mean, Canada loves to beat USA and for the USA, for Patrick Kane and so on, if they can be a tough little brother to Canada, that's superb for Team USA.
All right, well, listen, best of luck for Tuesday night's game against Russia. And thank you so much for being with us this evening, Tomasz. If you've enjoyed, listener, this edition of the Totally Hockey Show, then do rate and review us, and why not share and subscribe as well. And as I mentioned before, check out the IIHF's excellent app. We'll be back after Tuesday's group stage finale. Hope to see you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production in association with In Front.